This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw.
Biggs time.
The Biggs Report.
With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you are on it, as always, and it was interesting to hear the quarterback speak. We heard that earlier in the week, and it was good to just get it over with. I don't know what the delay was, and once the information came out, we kind of talked about it. It needed context. You got the context. Feels like you can move beyond that now.
Yeah. Absolutely, and which is good for Caleb, and good for the people concerned about whether it was actually a story or not. Listen, mm-hmm. it was a story. It's a footnote now. It isn't going to be a story if he plays well this season. It's not going to be a story if he plays poorly this season, but it's interesting, right? It's in the past, and he's got to grab control of his career and put it on an upward trajectory, and there's reason to feel optimistic that the coaching staff in place now can help him accomplish that goal, that some of the upgrades on the roster can make the team around him better. Like that to me is the biggest story ahead for this 2025 Chicago Bears season, is what happens with the quarterback. And a lot of people have talked about them getting over 500, which has been extremely difficult for the Bears in the last more than a decade. People have talked about the playoffs. Is that doable? And it should, unless you're in a dumpster fire, it should be doable for a lot of teams when nearly half the league gets into the postseason. But more important than all of that is what happens with the quarterback, because if he shows that upward trajectory and starts playing like a guy that can, turn into an upper tier player at that position, then they might have the thing figured out. If he doesn't, and he's up and down, and you've got legitimate questions about him, but they're winning because of defense, special teams, and running the football, and they go 9-8 and get into the playoffs, and you think that's great. Well, sounds like an exciting season, but until they get that quarterback position figured out, everything else is secondary.
And expectations were high a year ago, but they're smaller this year, especially when you talk about the pressure involved, as you describe it, as well as he's got entities like Pro Football Focus projecting Caleb Williams to be the NFL's most improved player in 2025. Not just quarterback, the most improved player in the league. So that's a kind of...
What's that formula look like?
Well, I just think it's not...
Yeah,
Brad, but hold on. I mean, it's they grade film which I think is fair to wonder how they grade it. But it is a respected entity, so that's the kind of pressure that underscores everything we're talking about. Ben Johnson's arrival has only intensified the pressure that Caleb Williams is facing next year.
Oh, yeah, listen. The pressure's going to be big. It was big for Justin Fields. It was big for Mitch Trubisky. You know, projecting a guy to be the most improved player, like that, what you do is you pick a guy that was disappointing. You pick a guy with a big name, and then you throw it out there, and maybe it gets some attention. And I think, you know, Williams was a little disappointing last year. Certainly, when you looked at the performance of some of the other rookie quarterbacks in the league, there were some good things he did. Listen, the best thing that guy did last season was he started 17 games right. when he took 68 sacks, a league-high number, and he was able to protect the football relatively well, keeping the interceptions down.
Right.
But he's got to – like, you're willing to take a few more picks probably if the yards per attempt can take a big bump and you see him – being a little bit more aggressive with some of his decision making, and they got the new staff in place. They've got a new system. They've got some new players. It's going to be really interesting. But you're right, Dave. The pressure here is it's big time.
Well, and I think the pressure is because they brought in an offensive coach. They brought in a guy who's a play caller. They brought in a guy who was running the number one offense in football. So you look at the addition of Ben Johnson, and that is, you know, that would be perceived as the missing little element that this guy needs to hit the next level.
Yeah, right. I mean, they got the offensive coach on the market this year, and but it's the Bears and it's the quarterback position. So I think we've got to take a deep breath and allow this thing to kind of play out a little bit. And I realize that that's probably going to be impossible for most people come September when you're going to want snap judgments every Monday morning from folks. But I'd be optimistic right now. We've got to see it, though. He's got to go out and do it. They've got to do it as a team. That offensive line has got to come together and prove that it was put together in a sound fashion, and those guys can play. There's just a lot that's got to happen between now and then.
Montez Sweat was asked to use a word to describe Dennis Allen. He chose the word complex. He also pointed out how this is the first time he's had to learn a defense quite this involved and maybe intricate. And I guess I was a little surprised, Brad, because I don't think, and I was aware of how Dennis Allen's reputation was for being that kind of defensive coordinator. I thought he was fairly conventional in the 4-3 approach. I think that the secondary, we knew he was more aggressive, maybe playing more man. But to hear Montez Sweat, I thought was a very good insight into what the Bears defensive players are going through. How did you view what he said, and how would you describe Dennis Allen yourself?
Yeah, I think Dennis Allen, when you talk about him maybe being intricate or requiring them to learn more, he's going to be a lot more unpredictable up front in terms of moving guys around on the defensive line, in terms of stunts, you know, playing some games in an effort to create advantageous one-on-one matchups for their linemen. Like, okay, who do we want to attack in this situation, and how do we get the player that we want to attack them in that position to do that? So you're, like I said, you're moving guys around, you're changing the front a little bit here and there. Then it's not just going to be press man all the time. Like Dennis is a guy who's done it. He's done it a long time. Like, he's been at it. He's a relatively young guy for the amount of time he's spent not only as a coordinator but as a head coach as well. So I think that was a really good addition by Ben Johnson, just because of the experience that Dennis has, where there's probably not a lot of things Ben's going to encounter that he can't turn to Dennis and say, hey, you know, how'd you handle this?
Hey, I'm just curious. I know all we talk about correctly is the starting quarterback in Caleb Williams and how good he's going to be and how this will help him, etc. But they have a battle, according to the head coach, with Case Keenum and Tyson Bagent for the number two quarterback. Now, I know this is meaningless for the most part, because any team that loses their starters in serious trouble. But is Case Keenum, do you view this, the fact that he has taken every second team rep that the media has been able to see over the 2 days the practices have been open, does that indicate to you that he's getting a legitimate look at that position, or does that indicate that it is a he's a veteran guy, so they're letting him have first bite at the apple? In other words, do you think Bagent will be the backup quarterback? Does it matter much? How significant is it that Case Keenum is there?
Well, hopefully it's significant for Caleb Williams, right? Hopefully, like, Case has got some, you know, ability to share some experiences in his long career. Like, the guy's been at it a while. Right. Entered the league in 2013. So hopefully he's got some stuff that can help, you know, not only Caleb, but Tyson as well. I would imagine that it's a competition to whatever degree you can have two guys going at it behind the starting quarterback who's young, who's learning a new offense.
And needs every rep.
Yeah, and it's going to be getting all the reps. Like, they're going to need quality from Case and Tyson in their performance and practice, because there's not going to be a whole lot of quantity there. So I think, you know, they weren't going to just go out and get any veteran backup. They wanted, if a guy had experience, he had to check a couple more boxes for him as well. They had to feel like he could really benefit Caleb. They had to feel like he'd have an opportunity to compete with Tyson for this job. Like, Tyson hasn't done enough in the league to just say, yeah, there's the number two quarterback. So he should have to compete for that as well. Yeah, this guy's, you know, career marks, I mean, that sort of magical season he had in Minnesota when he was pressed into action was a long time ago now. That was 2017 when they got into the playoffs. He won like 11 regular season games as the starter. I think that you're looking at training camp reps. You're looking at a little bit of preseason action to sort of sort that one out. And then you hope you don't have to turn to the number two.
Brad, it's OTA, so you don't want to read too much into anything. Ben Johnson called the plan so far at left tackle a game of musical chairs. This week it was Ozzie Tripillo, who's getting the look, and he got all the reps with the number one offense. Last week, Kieran Amagaji did. I think eventually they're waiting for Braxton Jones to return, but their confidence in Tripillo and the way that he looked and functioned and made a strong impression with the number one offense is not insignificant. What do you think his role will be moving forward? Plan A remains Braxton Jones, correct?
I would think plan A remains Braxton Jones, but the more time Ozzie has to kind of give him a glimpse and show improvement, the better chance he would have. I mean, you've got sort of a three-way battle right now with one guy unable to battle. Okay, so ultimately you want to have that into a legit two-way competition sooner rather than later. Might not be till training camp. You know, I think it's smart that they are not trying to move Darnell Wright to left tackle right now.
Yeah.
Ben Johnson didn't rule that out. It's something that they could look at moving forward. But I think I think some of the issues that he has at right tackle would be more problematic as a left tackle. And then, you know, okay, who are you playing at right tackle? Like, you want to have fewer moving parts. So and there's no shortage of candidates to be the left tackle right now. So I think you keep him at right tackle, hope that, that serves him best and you can figure out the left tackle position.
Brad, over the cap has the Bears with $14.5 million available if they want to add anybody. They reworked the Joe Tooney contract and that saved them some money. Does that mean that means running back, I think we have concluded? Does that mean pass rusher still a possibility? Are you set with the safety position, even if are you a little worried about that one? I mean, I'm just saying, if you were playing around with that dough, what would you do?
Well, we've talked about it a couple times. You would imagine they add a running back to the mix before training camp. Just for the numbers, like right, you don't want to overuse anyone in camp. Now, what's that look like? Is that a guy for minimum salary, or is that something that's modest for a guy that's got to compete for a roster spot? I don't know. I don't see them going out and getting some guy where, hey, look, the Bears got a new RB1. Like, I don't think that player. Is probably going to
Dobbins arrive. Or Chubb? I mean, those guys are up there.
Chubb. I mean, Chubb's just physically
beaten up.
Been through too much. Yeah, like it was full credit to him to come back from the gruesome knee injury. His season last year was ended with a broken foot, and some people tend to overlook that. I think it was against Kansas City, week 16 or 17.
So you're out on him?
I'm out on Chubb, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting.
I've been pretty clear on that. I mean, he was 3.1, 3.3 yards a carry last season?
Yeah, I'm just curious because, I mean, yesterday Jeremy Fowler mentioned the Bears as one of several teams that might be, right. And it could be agent-driven. You never know what the sources are for these reports.
I mean, I don't – boy – I sure as heck wouldn't give him any money, right? Like, but
well, I don't think he's going to command tons of money
Dobbins. And Dobbins had a nice season last year. He's a guy that's had some durability issues before. In terms of those other positions, you're not going to go out and be able to. They're not going to get Trey Hendrickson like that.
Clowney's out there, right? That. Clowney hasn't signed yet.
He's not much. Clowney's kind of this guy that sets the edge. He's not much of a get after the quarterback guy. If they go out and drop $4 or $5 million on a pass rusher, they're getting a guy that doesn't rush the passer real well. Like, you brought in your this year's version of Daryl Taylor, okay?
Yeah.
So safety, maybe you can get those guys on the cheap.
All right, Brad, good stuff. Who you got before we let you go? Oilers or Panthers?
I mean, who cares, Dave?
Wow. Wow.
Oh, you're beautiful.
All right,
guys.
What about the Pacers or the Knicks?
I knew better than to ask that. I thought he might have a passing interest in hockey. No. I know he doesn't care about the NBA. No.
Great stuff, Bigsy.
Are they still playing?
Yeah, last I checked.
Have a good weekend.
All right, buddy. All right,
thanks, Brad.
Have a great weekend.
That's our guy, Bigsy.
Who cares,
Dave? He's a baseball guy.
I know, but hey, he weighs in on hockey. He's got hockey thoughts.
Yeah.
Don't let that fool you. He's got plenty of hockey thoughts.
He likes his Capitals. That's it. I don't think he...
He likes his Capitals. They got eliminated, but then he stopped watching.
That's probably
Maybe that's not a bad idea.
That's what happens to people. That's why the NBA finals are such a point of interest to television executives. Mm-hmm. If the Knicks could somehow manage to get there, they would keep that New York audience.
Still possible.
All right, we've got a lot of people who want to check in. We're going to get to your calls. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Who cares, Dave?
Big Z. Talking hockey. You got to love it. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio. 670 The Score.
Yeah, well, I care, and that's okay. We're not going to talk about the NHL Stanley Cup final.
You are allowed to care.
Yeah,
but,
it's good.
But you knew he didn't care.
I didn't know he didn't care. I never know what Brad cares about and doesn't care
about. On a given day.
But I really don't care about that. So, Jonathan Toews is in the news, speaking of hockey, because yesterday, I think it's a big deal in Chicago. He told, it's reported from Pierre LeBrun from The Athletic.
Yes.
Trusted source, and this was later confirmed by a couple other people, that Jonathan Toews was in touch with his longtime agent, and he is serious about a comeback. Captain Serious, Captain Comeback. And I think now you start to wonder where he will land, how effective he can be. And obviously in Chicago, the first question is, and I think we addressed it during the pick six for people that might not have been listening, could you conceivably see a return to Chicago? I don't think that's realistic. And I think that's the only reason, that's a big reason why I think you want to address it and get out in front of it, or at about it.
But are we talking about the Kyle Beach stuff? They've moved on from that era. There's nobody connected to that, to the franchise in those days that is still.
Well, I think that's, I think I don't know
about
that for a fact. I can understand why people would look at that as a reason why it's time to just not look back, to continue to look forward. But I think it's even more than that, Mully. I think that's an organizational maybe statement and an organizational observation. And that's fair, even though I don't think anybody can really confirm that. Here's what I think from a hockey perspective. You have a team that has, 9 or 10 players who are key players on your roster under the age of 24 or 23 even.
Yeah.
You've got Connor Bedard, who was a centerpiece of this rebuild. And you have a new coach in Jeff Blashill, who comes from Tampa. He is a head coach at Detroit. And everything is about the future. And I think when you have a rebuilding effort in that vein, I don't know that you want to spend a lot of time looking like, well, this is how we used to do it when.
But I mean, their current captain, how old is he? I mean, he's pretty long in the tooth. We just talked about Corey Perry scored a goal. He was on the Blackhawks last year. And this guy's 40 years old, and he scored for Edmonton. He's had a good playoff for Edmonton.
Well, in hockey, you can play into your late 30s, even your 40s. Look at Alex Ovechkin. He was a guy who broke Wayne Gretzky's record pushing 40.
But I mean,
Nick Foligno's 37 years old.
Yeah,
he's Jonathan Toews' peer.
But Foligno is pretty big. I'm not trying to be a clown about it. I'm just saying physically, when you are bigger and stronger, maybe you can last longer as a professional hockey player than someone who is more undersized. Now, Kaner is not a big man, and he's still able to play. But it's just interesting that when we talk about this, we feel like Toews could wind up reuniting with Joel Quenneville, but he couldn't play in Chicago.
Well,
again.
But here's why, though, and that's a really good question. Why I think it's worthy addressing, because in Anaheim, that'd be quite a reunion.
Yes.
Quenneville behind the glass and Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews wearing duck sweaters at the duck pond in Anaheim. Oh, my gosh. That would be worth going to. That would be very, very fascinating to follow. But I think everything about that process and everything about that reunion would be new moving forward. If Jonathan Toews comes back to Chicago and, say, hypothetically puts on a Blackhawks sweater, is the captain again, everything about what he accomplishes or does from that point forward is compared to what he accomplished before he left. And that's a non-starter. I mean, if I'm running an organization, if I'm Kyle Davidson, I do not want to have my rebuild defined by what it isn't. Because if Jonathan Taves comes back, that's exactly what would happen.
Well, and that's one way of looking at it, David. But if it were me and I were putting together a team, I would wonder, hey, like if I were to sign Patrick Kane as a free agent, or if I were to bring in Jonathan Taves as a former Hawk player, how does that impact Connor Bedard? Do these guys have the ability to make Bedard better? As opposed to anybody else.
I think that's related, though. I think that's partly related. But if it is separate, I think that's a great way to look at it. Patrick Kane, to me, would have a better chance of making Connor Bedard better than Jonathan Taves would. One, you could play on the same line with him.
Right.
So I think that's a different hockey dynamic in play that you look at. Well, could he complement Connor Bedard in that a guy who likes to defer could get a lot more assists and your offense would be better if he's paired with Patrick Kane? Jonathan Taves would be more of an example and an influence on Connor Bedard than he would be an on-ice component. So there are differences, but it's the same idea. Both cases, I think the Hawks have rejected the notion of looking to the past to build a future.
But Tavo was brought back for this year.
But Tavo was a minor player in a dynasty era.
Nonetheless, he was a former Blackhawk.
Yeah.
And the general manager drove him in his car and picked him up and knew him from a gopher.
But you've got to admit, though, there's a difference in Tavo Teravainen reuniting with the Hawk organization and the best captain they ever wore the sweater.
Right. No, I'm not being a wise guy. I'm just saying that there's got to be more to it. I get the sense.
And again, I'm not speaking on behalf of anybody that I've talked to. It's just the sense that this organization under Kyle Davidson is ready to move on fully, totally, and completely. And this would not be in that vein. This would be a nod to the past. And it'd be very nostalgic. And it might be pretty interesting from a hockey perspective. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, and that's fair. And if it's not going to happen, then there's no need giving air to it, to be honest with you. But I'm just saying.
Well, I think him returning to the NHL is good for the game and the sport.
I think it's interesting. I don't.
And for him.
He hasn't played since 2023.
Right.
It is really interesting to me, just given everything he's been through physically. We know about his journey and the different methodologies he's tried to improve his health and get better. The very fact that he feels good enough to be, or well enough to be able to make a comeback, is great news just for him and for his life moving forward. So I love that element of this story. But I think at some point it's going to come down to what you can do on the ice, and not just how well you can think the game or how great you are in the locker room, or, you know, all of the intangibles are always going to be there with a guy like Jonathan Taves. I just wonder how
what he has
teams,
left.
Well, I mean, what is it?
Fresh legs.
Okay, but
fresh
but
legs.
How long are they remaining fresh?
That's true. The bounce back factor is
yes.
key. The injury factor would be something you'd concern yourself with.
That's what I'm saying.
That will keep his price low.
Right.
So it could be low risk, high reward.
Right.
And I think a team who's a contender,
that's where he would have to wind up. Yeah,
and if I'm Jonathan Taves, I'm probably looking, you have been away from this for a while. Now you're looking at a fresh start, a clean return. That's why I said Winnipeg, his hometown, makes sense because they were the president's, won the President's Trophy, and then they had an early exit.
Yep.
Or Anaheim and going back to the past and the nostalgia tour with Joel Quenneville, and maybe he can talk into Patrick Kane and running it back out in Southern California. Those are fascinating possibilities. It could be a team we're not even mentioning. We just don't know what needs exist around the league for a leader who might give you quality minutes in 12 to 15 minutes on your third or fourth line.
I get frustrated by this because I think Taze and Kane, because of the way they came into the NHL and played together and grew together and were the stars on a team that won three Stanley Cups. I think that we are always going to leak them together. But I don't know. And I mean, they may be the best of friends, but I don't know. They don't seem like linked with their personalities. They seem like very different people in terms of, you know, one guy more fun-loving.
Oh, I think they
and
definitely
one
are.
One guy, Captain Serious.
They shared experiences that,
exactly,
that will never be matched,
no,
and can never duplicate.
But do we link them together because they were here? Does Joel want both of them? I just don't know.
Well, I think that's a really good question. Sometimes
out.
That's overstated.
Yes.
And I think sometimes we can fall in love with the storyline when it doesn't make sense, maybe on the ice or on the field. In this case, with the Ducks, they have a lot of young talent who need to maybe take that next step and learn how to become better professionals, a winning mentality, and both those guys would offer that. On ice, their chemistry was outstanding. Does that still exist?
Right.
Hard to know.
Right.
It's been a while. But that was always the nuclear option. They didn't always play together, but when they did, great things happened. You wonder if that still exists in their late 30s. Don't know, but it would be fun to find out.
If you're some fan base out in California and, you know, you hire a guy and you're kind of looking askew, and then he tells you, well, we're also doing a reunion tour and we're going to get the whole band back together. I don't know.
You're the Anaheim Ducks. What is your tradition? What is your history? What's your frame of reference? You don't have a lot to go on.
Yeah.
So you might be, hey, yeah, let's try this.
You're literally created from a Disney movie.
You are.
I know.
You're a Disney creation.
I know.
Okay.
It's kind of wild. And you're mighty. All right.
The Mighty Ducks.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, I got to tell you, I'm fascinated by the story. I'm glad he's doing better physically. And to me, that tells you that whatever the long-term COVID thing was or whatever the concussion protocol that he was once, it's a great story that he's able to come back, if indeed he's able to come back.
I have more, I think, questions about where he is mentally than I do maybe physically. Physically, I don't think he would take this step if he weren't convinced that he was past some of the most significant hurdles, if he not cleared that. I think mentally was where he needed to get to and say, all right, I'm ready for the grind again, because it is quite a grind the way that he approaches every day of being a hockey player.
Yeah, I mean, again, the worst case scenario would be trying to do a comeback and then realizing that you are not the entity you once were and you can't do what you
think
once
there'll
did.
Be a market?
I would hope so, but I don't know.
You mentioned a couple of really good examples of guys in their late 30s and 40s that have succeeded, and Corey Perry's a great example, not the most popular guy in many NHL dressing rooms or organizations or front offices, but he is a guy that makes a difference on the ice, and he's still playing well into his 40s.
Well, I wonder, David, if there are great examples of guys that take a couple of years off their sport and come back and are still as capable of contributing as they once were. You know, when he was a young man, he was obviously, you know, a first-round draft pick, a very high – was he second overall or third overall?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Third. I mean, he was a very highly thought – he was the captain of Canada, not just the Blackhawks. He was a guy that was in every lineup card of every team he was ever on. I don't know that that's still the case. I don't know – you know, you would have to sort of monitor and be around and get a sense of it before I think you would dive back into it.
No doubt. Those are great points. And so, there would be heightened concerns.
Yes.
He'd have to answer a lot of questions, and that process will be pretty thorough. But I am glad that it's beginning.
I agree with you. I mean, it's exciting. I think the best thing about it is it signals to me that physically he's in significantly better shape than he was a couple of years ago when he had to kind of end his career. Maybe prematurely, I don't know. 34, 35 professional athletes don't
prematurely
go forever.
Look what Kaner's got left. He's been productive last couple seasons in Detroit. He's a free agent again. So yeah, I do think that you can still expect if he stays healthy that he will be productive.
Who else can you coax out of retirement? Is Marian Hossa's skin cleared up? Because that
I
guy
don't know.
Was,
I think a lot of
a huge
as
difference.
One of the texters says, speaking of guys who have Chicago pass considering coming back, what's going on with Anthony Rizzo?
I've not heard
switching to baseball.
I've not heard anybody talk about Rizzo. I mean, I'm talking about. I haven't even when I look at the Sunday notes columns. The last guy I heard talk about Rizzo was when Shelley said he was retired.
I know. That's what I mean.
Rizzo, Rizzo.
You thought they might be chanting that in Boston because they need a first baseman, but they weren't chanting Rizzo.
They didn't.
Rizzo.
Didn't sign him.
Maybe he is going to return to the Cubs in some capacity, not playing first base, but in the organization.
What would he do for the Cubs? Like, is it ambassador?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, but that's like, okay.
I said Cub organization. I didn't say
infield.
I didn't say infield.
You didn't say like hitting instructor. You didn't say, I'm just curious.
Rizzo.
What you know. Yeah. Jed Hoyer, sorry. Thanks for the memories. We're moving on. And we're bringing in Anthony Rizzo to run the team.
No. Yeah,
that's what
not
you
saying
implied.
That. Jed's having a heck of a year.
Jed's doing well for himself. I wasn't trying to. I was just sort of making. I was lampooning the concept. Let's put it that way. 312-644-6767. We keep threatening to get to our callers. We're going to next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's different ways to win ball games. Is kind of the way I look at it. And we're going to put up games in Cincinnati where we're down five and come back and have an offensive explosion that keep us in the game. They come back and take the lead. And then there's going to be days where you have to scrap and claw for everything you can get. And these guys can do that. You know, and that's the fun part for me, I think, as a coach watching it. You know, this year compared to years past, is there isn't just one way to win the ball game. There's guys that can do different things, and there's dynamic players, and so, you know, playing in a tough run scoring environment like that, the goal is to do one thing, is to win the ball game. You know, we took care of business there.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the voice of the Cubs pitching coach Tommy Hottovy. We get to talk to Tommy every couple weeks, and I thought he made a great point. The Cubs have won a lot of games, and they've won a lot of games in different ways, and that's got to be kind of a real fun element.
Oh, it's so much fun.
To this team.
Even when you sweep a team like the Rockies, it's so much fun. And the former lefty, Tommy Hottovy, getting it done, taking care of business as a pitching coach for the Cubs.
Yes, even if it's a weak sweep or a cheap sweep, whatever way you want to call it, as you just did. Nonetheless.
As you did.
I may have, but you just brought it up.
What are you looking at, Dustin?
And you're working overtime on his day off yesterday.
And working overtime. Yeah. That's right. All right. Working overtime. Got all the lyrics in there.
Weak sweep.
Let's go to the phones.
All right. 312-644-6767. I like to go to bed at a reasonable hour. Ken is on the Odyssey app. Hey, Ken.
Morning, gentlemen. With regard to the series this weekend at Wrigley against Cincinnati, I guess my biggest concern is that the bats would stay quiet for two straight home series.
Right.
And if that happens, then I'll be concerned about whether the offense is maybe starting to regress to a mean. But I guess if it's the pitching. Where the bats are hot, but they've got to make comebacks late, you know, seventh inning or later. That's kind of standard deal. But if it's the latter, then I'm just concerned that the Cubs just don't have the pitching required for the offseason to be there, or not the offseason, but the postseason to be very successful.
I get it, Ken.
Thanks, Ken.
Totally understand. It's May 30th. Understand there's a lot of time before the trade deadline. There's a ton of time before the postseason. And the Cubs will be in a better position to handle the postseason once we get closer to the trade deadline.
Well, they're going to have to make a move.
They're going to have to
get a starting.
Do you really expect
here.
They won't? I mean, there's
I think they will.
There's no reasonable baseball person that thinks the Cubs aren't going to be aggressive and supplement their starting pitching.
Yes.
If they continue to play this well and hit this well.
Yeah. But I think what he said is interesting because, you know, as I said to you, I am a native of this city. I grew up on the south side of Chicago, and as such, I became a White Sox fan. And then when you see the White Sox, bad as they may have been over the last few years, go into Wrigley Field and just get pounded. I mean, just get beaten senseless. And you know that the Cubs are the better team, and you know there's very little that the White Sox are going to be able to do against the Cubs, and then they just beat the hell out of the team. Then you see Colorado come in, who has literally half the number of wins that the White Sox have, and the Cubs kind of, you know, just kind of crawl through a series and pitch their way to a sweep, if you're being honest about what happened in that series. I think that Ken's right. You do wonder, well, yeah, are we regressing here to the mean? Like, why aren't they just pounding that team the way they pounded the team on the south side? That goes through my head a little bit.
Okay.
And so I look at that and I say, like, what's going on? And we had a lot of Cub fans who said the same thing. You know, I had the same thought while I was jogging.
Yeah.
Boy, those were tough games.
Yeah, I think a sweep.
We got those.
And, it's long
and we
season.
Said that.
It's a
and
long
we said
season.
All you got to do is win, baby.
But, just win, baby.
But it'd be nice if they could. And I think because it's a division opponent,
you know what's nice?
Maybe they'll beat up on these guys like
you know
they
for,
know they
first
can.
Place. That's nice.
John's on the road. Hey, John.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Good. I just, a couple things. You guys were talking a little bit about, you know, the Cubs and what they're going to do with the trade deadline. Do you think it's more likely that they're going to go after someone like a closer if things don't really start shaping up? Or something like starting pitching with Steele being out?
I think the pitching is...
Both.
Yeah, I think...
Both.
But I think that starting pitching would be my priority right now.
I think so.
But I do think they need to make a move in the bullpen as well.
If you get a top-of-the-rotation starter,
yes.
Don't know who that is, don't know if we understand who that might be. The market has yet to develop. If it's Sandy Alcantara, then great. But I don't know if he's going to be available. But starter, top-of-the-rotation starter...
Sure.
That allows you some flexibility in your bullpen.
Yeah.
Maybe Colin Ray is the swing guy. Maybe Ben Brown becomes a late-inning high-leverage guy.
You never know.
Shota.
Yep.
Traded pitcher. And Cade Horton. Cade Horton can play a big role on this staff if he continues this kind of consistency.
All right. We've got Ron Coomer will join us next. We'll talk to the Coom Dog. We'll be right back. Mully and Haw on the Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.